This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. You're listening to Place to Be Nation's Main Event, a roundtable experience looking at today's pro wrestling landscape. And now, here's your host, Scott Criscolo.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to your home for everything modern day flamethrower, which is, of course, World Wrestling Entertainment, Place to Be Nation's Main Event. I'm your host, Scott Criscolo. We've got a great show for you tonight, like we do all the time. We got a couple of shows to preview. It's a busy weekend in WWE. They have a taped UK show on Friday night or Friday afternoon. But then the big stuff happens on Saturday night and on Sunday night. And I need awesome guys to do it, which I do, including a debut. Every time I feel like there's nobody else that I could find or nobody else that can be cultivated to be on this fantastic program, I find another diamond in the rough. And he's making his debut this evening. Let me bring him in right now. He's a Place to Be Nation veteran, and he's no stranger to all of us. He's been on a couple of podcasts, mostly trivia, epic fails. But trust me, he's not the only one. But tonight, clean slate, ready to rock and roll, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Steve Ferrari.
Seriously, what the hell took you guys so long? Sitting here waiting for my invitation. It never comes.
waiting on the phone.
Waiting on the Skype to start going off. And, you know, really.
That's true. And do you have a pink polo shirt and tights with a cockroach on them? Because your last match is in 19-1. You never know when the next podcast is going to happen. You never know. Steve, it's good to have you on, man.
I'm glad to be here. Thanks.
Finally
a lot.
Joining us. Next up, a relative veteran to the main event. We go down deep to the heart of the Lone Star State, Mr. Chris Jordan. Chris, welcome back.
Joe, all the scotch is gone.
Wow, you really... That is the greatest Graham Cawthon impersonation I've ever heard! Chris, always a pleasure. And, of course, to my right, as always, my right-hand man, Mr. Jason Greenhouse.
Here on the 19th anniversary of David Wells' cocaine-induced perfect game... It is so good to have another Yankee fan on a show not named Rosero.
Where everything's blamed on the referees, on the umpires. It's 10-3 now in the fifth.
I just looked at the TV and saw that. Jeez.
I know, isn't that amazing? Guys,
I love this team.
Always a pleasure. Let's dive right in. Again, it's a busy weekend in WWE. Friday afternoon locally, or Friday afternoon here in the Northeast, but Friday night in the UK is a special UK championship special or whatever that started back. It was taped a week ago, so it's kind of dated already. But here are the matches. Tyler Bate is defending the UK title against Mark Andrews. Pete Dunne and Trent Seven will battle to become the number one contender. Wolfgang faces Joseph Connors. And Rich Swann and Dan Maloney, whoever he is, will take on TJP and the Brian Kendrick in a tag team match. We won't get into that stuff because it's all taped already. Incidentally, the UK title match and that number one contenders match, the winners of those matches will meet Saturday night in our first preview analysis of the evening, NXT TakeOver Chicago, which will be Saturday night from the Allstate Arena in Rosemont. Brought to you by Hulu and Rocket League. Whatever the hell that is. Is that like, what is that, paper guitar? What was that stupid, product that WWE had a lot of 2012 or 2011 pay-per-view sponsored? Remember what it was called? Cardboard guitar. What the fuck was it called? Does anybody remember? What the hell was it called? Something guitar. I don't know.
No idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, I know. I'll have to look it up. It was like a sponsor back in like 2010, 2011. That's because nobody wants to remember those pay-per-views either. All right.
I've definitely blocked them all now.
Yeah, exactly. Which is why Justin and I stopped after WrestleMania 23. all right, guys. So let's go to Saturday night. We all assume Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne will probably win those matches. Steve, a big fan of the UK match at TakeOver. no, I know you're not. Does Tyler Bate retain here?
And look, first of all, let me just say, it's bullshit. I'm calling bullshit on the UK title being defended in the Midwestern United States. It shouldn't happen. That's just not cool.
I didn't know you had that feeling. I didn't know that.
I just, you know, just wanted to make sure that it was clear and out there. I think that they're going to keep it on Bate, have an established champion going through, somebody who's got a couple of wins under his belt, and give him a title defense, a successful defense at TakeOver.
Mm. Chris, what do you think?
Well, I really like Pete Dunne. He's put in some good heel work. I enjoyed his work in the UK tournament. I enjoy the dynamic between him and Commissioner Regal. And I think I like Pete Dunne in this match to go over and be a thorn in Regal's side going forward.
I think that's very interesting. I kind of like that opinion that Pete Dunne could be a pain in the ass to his, you know, what could be conceivably a mentor or such. What do you think, Greeny?
Yeah, I think that, you know, one of the reasons why they're actually having this match on the TakeOver special is to get the title change happen here. I think Pete Dunne walks out as the new UK champion. Yeah, the stuff with him and Regal is really, really cool, and he's the perfect guy to throw in there to do the stuff with Regal with. So, Tyler Bate, I can see him coming up to 205 Live occasionally, too. So this isn't going to be the end of him by far.
No, I don't think it will either. I agree with you on that. That's actually a pretty good analysis. I think Bate could end up being a 205 Live guy, too. But I think I like Pete Dunne as NXT as a UK champion and kind of giving Regal some guff. Now, there's four more matches on this card, but there's a lot of names missing. At the moment, because, you know, you never know. No Aleister Black. No Drew McIntyre, which is mind-boggling. No, his name just flew out of my head. No Cassius Ohno. What is the issue, Steve, with leaving all these guys off? Why do they have it in their head about this show having to be a certain length and you can't have extra matches and that kind of stuff? Why not just have these guys on?
I think what you're probably going to see is having them at least one of those guys that you mentioned not being on the card are going to wrestle Saturday night. They're going to be a surprise match on the card somewhere along there to pop the crowd for something that they weren't expecting. Hmm. All of them probably should be advertised, especially Drew McIntyre. It's mind-boggling to me why he's not on there, why he's not announced, given how much they've been hyping him. But I think that they're going to find a way to get them on the show.
Okay. Chris, what do you think?
I think it's just a matter of, you know, the current storylines for this card, the way they've been booked and built, and there just isn't any room for them. You know, there's probably the set of tapings after this are probably going to set up something for each of those guys, especially McIntyre. The time constraints that they've placed on the NXT shows where, you know what, they're probably running close to 2.5 hours and, you know, five. They generally have five matches on these TakeOver shows, and there's just no room for them, just from a storyline perspective, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I get that, I guess. You know, we may have a, again, they usually do a 30-minute, I think. I think they do a 30-minute pre-show, so there'll probably be a pre-show at 7:30, and they may throw a match on there. And, well, obviously what they'll do is they'll do some taping. They'll tape some matches. Actually, that might be where we'll see McIntyre and Black and those guys. They may tape some dark matches that'll air on NXT that next Wednesday to fill for those couple weeks. So that's entirely possible as well. Greeny, if there's one of those three, because those are the three main guys, obviously, Cassius Ohno, Black, and McIntyre, which one of these guys could you see showing up on the main show on Saturday?
The guy who I hope shows up is Aleister Black, because I'm so invested in him right now. The guy who I think shows up is going to be Drew McIntyre, because they made the big deal of him coming back. You know, how would every and every takeover, they have the guy sitting in the front row at the WrestleMania show, and like last year it was Bobby Roode, this year it was McIntyre. He needs to be on this show, and I understand that. There's going to be five or six matches on every takeover. Three of them are always going to be the title matches. So they're kind of stuck in a corner on what other matches they're going to have on the shows. That's why the UK title match here is it kind of takes away from one of those three guys being on this show. Nothing against the UK guys whatsoever, but it's NXT's not their show. NXT is McIntyre, Ono, and Black's show. And the UK guys are taking their spot here. It's terrible.
That's a good point. I mean, you're right, Steve, about we don't need a UK title match on this show just to add extra gold. I mean, that makes no sense. Considering you have these three guys, I got a cool idea. How about Tyler Bates on Aleister Black for the UK title? And Aleister Black snaps him in half. Oh, that'd be kind of neat. In any event, I have a feeling we'll see these guys somewhere on this show, at least Drew McIntyre, and I think I have a feeling I know where. All right, let's talk about Roddy Strong, who's one of my favorite guys anyway, taking on Eric Young. Sanity was pretty cool in the beginning, but now they may be choking the mid-card. I'll ask you first, Greeny. Is trying to fit Sanity in here without really jobbing him out, are they choking the mid-card in NXT right now?
As a unit, they are. It's primarily Eric Young who's getting in the way here. Nothing against Eric Young, the worker, but Eric Young, the head, you know, enforcer guy of Sanity, is keeping the other two guys down. He's keeping Wolf and he's keeping Dane down. And, I mean, yeah, it's fine that he's probably going to end up putting Roderick Strong over. They ran those vignettes about Strong, the little shoot vignettes about his background the past couple of weeks, and they've been really entertaining, and that's probably positioning Strong to win this match. I mean, Eric Young does not need the win at all here. But, yeah, Sanity is not going to be what the Wyatt family was. The Wyatt family were a big stable in NXT because they were going to be a big deal on the main roster. They were going to be main event talent on the main roster. Sanity is not going to be, at least as a unit. Wolf and Dane on their own could have bright futures as singles guys or even as a tag team together still on the main roster. But Eric Young is not going to be a star on the main roster. Not in 2017, 2018. So yeah, Sanity as a stable is kind of getting in the way.
What do you think, Steve? Is the Sanity faction choking the mid card right now and not allowing some growing?
I think that the biggest problem with Sanity is just having Eric Young there. But that might just be because I hate Eric Young. And I always have. Okay. I think that the tag team there, Dane and Wolf, they could be big on their own. They could do great. The main roster needs tag teams, and a couple of big hosses like that are going to look great going up against some of the other teams. But they're not going to do anything if they're saddled with this group and with Eric Young. It's just a terrible combination, and it's been mentioned, it's just a rehash kind of the Wyatt family, except in reverse, where the tag team is the one with the potential and not the main leader. And they really are. I agree. I think you're right. I think they're wasting a lot of the talent on this show by having them go up against Eric Young and Sanity, because what are they doing with them? You know, it's these guys are just kind of hanging out there outside of Eric's matches, interfering and causing problems, and we don't really get anywhere with any of the stories.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, Chris?
Yeah, I was a pretty big proponent of sanity in the beginning. I've gone on record on a couple of shows in the past about that, and but now, you know, I'm starting to come around on the whole. Well, I mean, on these takeover shows, Eric Young is the one doing all the legwork in the ring. I mean, we haven't really gotten to see Alexander Wolf and Killian Dane, you know, participate in the angles from a match perspective. So I think it's time for EY to, you know, step aside, or maybe Sanity revolts on him and throws him out of the group when he loses to Roddy Strong there on Saturday night.
Mm, it's a good idea. I mean, I don't think Roddy Strong can afford to lose this match. I think he wins. Or there's some kind of schmoz. I'm leaning more towards the latter. I think Dane and Wolf are going to go in there and just as Roddy's about to win, and let the feud fester a little bit for a few more weeks, because obviously the next takeover probably won't be till Brooklyn 3. So they have some weeks to kind of, they really have a lot of time to really build that up. So I'm going to say that Roddy wins by DQ and this feud continues. Steve?
That's where I think the booking is going, yeah.
Mm. Chris?
Yeah, I can see that. I actually think Roddy might get the pin, but you know, at the same time, I see the possibility of it breaking down into a schmoz, and maybe the guys who aren't booked on the show, Drew McIntyre, Aleister Black, maybe Cassius Ohno, two of those guys come out for the save, and Regal might even make a good old six-man tag, Teddy Long style.
Mm. What do you think, Greeny?
Yeah, I like the six-man idea, but if by chance that doesn't happen, yeah, Roderick Strong definitely wins here. The vignettes that they've been running on him are really positioning him to go over here, and Eric Young does not need the win.
Okay, so I think Roddy Strong wins either way. Either he gets a clean pin, or it ends in a schmoz, and this feud continues. Our second title match of the evening, and our first actual NXT-related championship match, we have a ladder match for the NXT Tag Team titles, a rematch from Orlando, as the Authors of Pain, Not Hawk, Not Animal, will take on DIY, Johnny and the Psycho Killer, in a ladder. Is somebody cutting some of Billy Jack Kane's lines? What's going on there? I feel some rails being cut there. DIY and the Authors of Pain. I think DIY wins the belts back because this is a way for Authors of Pain to lose and not get pinned. I could see these lumbering oafs falling off a ladder or something like that. So I like DIY to win the belts back. What do you think, Steve?
I do not see how the Authors of Pain climb up the ladders and stay up there unless we pull out one of those specially reinforced 20-footers, that the nice big thick ones that they had for Big Show. So I think that it's probably going to be DIY coming back and grabbing those belts.
Okay. Chris?
I'm going to go the other direction and say the Authors retain. I think it's going to be a hell of a match, but I think DIY are just going to break their necks for these guys. And I think that's how it's going to go down. I don't think it's time to take the belts off the Authors just yet.
Okay. Greeny, what do you think?
Yeah, Gargano and Ciampa are definitely going to do something stupid. And they're going to bump like crazy for the Authors of Pain. And yeah, DIY walks out with the belts. I agree with Scott. It's a way that the Authors of Pain are not going to get pinned. So, DIY gets the belts back here.
Yeah, I think it is too. And I think Authors of Pain can win it back. I mean, I don't think that's a problem because, again, they haven't gotten pinned. And this is a way for them to lose without getting pinned because, obviously, this gimmick suits them. And then maybe Authors of Pain win it back in Brooklyn and then maybe we start building some new tag teams so DIY can be moved up to the main roster. I could easily see.
I think if they build it up for the Authors of Pain to beat DIY in Brooklyn, I think you're going to get a lot of unhappy people at the NXT Brooklyn show. That might be a mistake. The same could be said for a Chicago crowd. So who knows?
That is true. That is true. But I think DIY. I think the ladder match. I think the only reason they put that in there was either so they could bump like crazy and make the match ridiculously entertaining, or it gives DIY a chance to win the titles and not and the Authors don't have to get pinned. Next up, we have a triple threat match for the NXT Women's Championship as Asuka, who has not lost since ever, well, at least in NXT, takes on Nikki Cross and Greeny's girl there, Ruby Riott, in a triple threat. I think Asuka wins again. I think it's Ember Moon's belt to win. I think it's pretty clear. And Asuka was always a heel because she was just good at it. She was smug. Now she's actually cheating to win matches, which we hadn't seen really up until Orlando when she cheated to keep the belt against Ember Moon. Chris, do you give either Ruby Riott or Nikki Cross a chance here?
No, not much of one, Scotty. I think, like you said, I think this is Asuka's belt to retain. In the heel stuff coming from her is actually, you know, the blatant heel stuff now has actually added a dimension to her character. Mm. And I really don't think Ruby Riott or Nikki Cross are the one to take the belt off her. And like you said, Ember Moon's the one until she comes back from her injury. I think Asuka's going to hold on to that title.
Mm. Steve, what do you think?
I think if you're going to take the title off of Asuka, now's the time to do it. I don't think they're going to. I think they're probably going to keep the title there until you get the big Ember Moon rematch or match or whatever it is. But I think that this is where they should just put the title on Nikki Cross. Of all the members of Sanity, I find her the most entertaining. And I think it can make an interesting some interesting stories for the women's division in NXT.
I'm assuming you think she'll pin Ruby Riott and Asuka.
She's not gonna. Yeah, no, they're not gonna pin. Asuka will remain unpinned.
Okay, so you, the only reason I don't agree with you on that is because if DIY wins, I can't see them having two title changes where the champions actually don't get pinned. I can't see that happening twice in one night. I might be wrong. You might be right.
Oh, no. No. Like I said, I think Asuka's going to win. But I think that they should give it to Nikki Cross this time around.
Okay. What do you think, Greeny? No, Ruby Riott's not going to win, so.
Yeah, Ruby Riott is not going to win. She'll still be number one in my heart, though.
And that's all that matters.
Exactly. That's all that matters. Yeah, Asuka's not losing the belt here. These two girls were basically positioned in here for one of them to take bumps and one of them to get pinned, even with Ember Moon in here. Now, it was originally supposed to be a fatal four-way before Ember got hurt, correct?
Yeah, I believe that's right. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't even think Ember was going to win the fatal four-way. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen in Brooklyn, so... Yeah, Asuka's not losing here.
Okay. And everyone says, like, Asuka's heel turn was cemented when she attacked all the... Asuka's been a heel the whole time. She beat Bayley twice. So she was really a heel all along, but she was more like a smug, clean heel. Now she's acting like a legit, you know, 80s villainous Oriental, as, you know, the old announcers would say. Yeah, I don't see her losing either. I think Ember Moon, it's set for Ember Moon to win in Brooklyn. That's what I think. And finally, our main event, the NXT Championship on the line. Your champion, my guy, the glorious Bobby Roode, to take on Hideo Itami, who was probably obviously long awaited an NXT Championship match since he's had like 1,000 injuries. I don't see him winning this one, though. I think it's going to be a good match. I think the belt is ready at some point. I don't even think he loses it in Brooklyn for either Drew McIntyre or Roddy Strong. I think they're one of the next two baby faces to beat Bobby Roode. So I think Itami gives him a great match. I think it'll be outstanding. I think Bobby's on top of his game right now, but I think I don't think he loses here. I think he beats Hideo Itami in a great, great match. Greeny, what do you think?
Yeah, I said during our TakeOver Orlando reaction show that Bobby Roode is like the Flair of their territory. He's Triple H's Flair. He's just gonna keep on mowing down opponent after opponent. They're gonna come so close to beating him every single time, but in the end, the champ's still gonna win. Yeah, Itami's just an NXT veteran who's for once healthy right now, and you know it's a good guy to throw in there with Roode. Itami is really fun to watch in the ring, but there's no way Roode's losing the belt. He's gonna hold it. I can honestly see him holding it until TakeOver next year in wherever Mania is next year in New Orleans. I wouldn't be surprised if they just keep on letting him mow down everybody, whether it's McIntyre or Strong or Cassius Ohno, whoever it is, over the next 9 months. And then, you know, let one of them have the title shot again at TakeOver New Orleans. But yeah, Roode is holding on to this thing for a very long time, I think.
I mean, he'll go through Brooklyn. They'll have TakeOver Houston, which is where Survivor Series is. The big one, TakeOver Philly in January, which is going to be badass. And then, of course, TakeOver New Orleans. What do you think, Steve?
I think I'm going to be very sad when they finally take the NXT title off of Bobby Roode.
Yeah, makes two of us, brother.
He was the only reason I watched TNA for a very long time.
Me too.
I got to see him when NXT came to the theater in MSG back in November, and it was just a fantastic. He was great in the ring. His entrance was over. Everybody was singing. It was great. And this is the guy that they should just let the promotion be built around for a while.
Yep.
And then build somebody up to beat him. I assume that's going to be Drew McIntyre. He's not going to lose here. This is just a showcase to get two really good talents in there to have a good match and let Roode's title reign continue.
Chris?
Yeah, this is interesting for me. I wasn't a huge TNA guy. I'm lucky if I checked out, you know, 15, 20 minutes total of TNA action, you know, within the last 5-6 years. So when Roode comes to NXT, you know, I was kind of like in a, you know, wait and see mode with this guy. But his series with Nakamura really showed me something there. He had the ability to hang with this guy. And, you know, he worked through like a slowly building match, and I enjoyed those matches because they had the slow build and then, you know, the big climactic crescendo near the end in each match, and he's won me over. And Hideo Itami, not so much, because you know, he came in with a lot of hype but didn't really bring it in the ring because series of injuries, you know, sidelined him. And I don't see Itami at the same level as Roode, considering that Roode hasn't been in NXT as long. So I see Roode retaining here and just moving on to the next opponent.
It's really hard to build up a guy when he's injured all the time.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That's true.
And there's always the possibility that the match doesn't happen because Itami gets injured walking into the Allstate Arena.
And Kevin Owens is waiting outside to attack him.
Exactly.
Again.
Or yeah, you could pull a Kevin Nash.
And I agree with that. I agree with that. You know, Itami didn't really get a fair shake. But, you know, even prior to that, you know, with all his hype, you know, they handful of matches he had before that, he failed to impress us, myself anyway.
I mean, he could pull a Kevin. He could pull a Kevin Nash. You know, pick up the phone and pull pop a quad. You know, I mean, it's, you know.
One thing that's going to be interesting about the match is that Itami's is Itami's finisher, the GTS, was used by another famous Chicagoan.
Really?
In Chicago.
Really?
So I'm wondering how that crowd is going to react to the match if they're with the teases, if there are teases, or if they bother with it at all, or if. You know, it's just like, don't do it. Do something else.
Oh, I don't think Tommy gives a fuck, to be honest with you. I really don't think he does. I really don't think he does. I don't think he cares. I don't think he even knows who that guy is. No, I shouldn't say. He does. He knows who it is. He knows who it is. Maybe said person will be there. I doubt it. I doubt it.
No.
I could see him being at that show more than he's at the show on Sunday, that's for sure.
Isn't he tied up with an MTV show or something?
Or yeah, he's tied up.
Doing a challenge?
Yeah, he's something. Who cannot piss me off? No. All right. There's
the answer
your,
is no one.
The answer is no one. Who cannot make me grumpy besides my wife? All right. Well, there you go, guys. There is your NXT TakeOver Chicago preview. Saturday night, 8 o'clock on the WWE Network. I'm sure there's a pre-show with my girl Charlie at 7:30. Gosh, she's so hot. It'll probably be her, Nigel. Not gonna get the. Are they gonna get the little leprechaun again, like they did last year, like they did for Orlando? Sam Roberts, the leprechaun. Are they gonna bring him back? Nobody likes him.
He was there. He was there for the last show, wasn't he?
Yeah, I was about to say he was. He did the Orlando preview with. What about you know, other girls we haven't seen? What about what's their names? Peyton Royce and what's it there? Maleficent there. Maleficent, whatever the fuck her name is. She looks like that Disney villain, whatever the hell her name is. Why is her name? Billy Kay. Thank you.
Billy Kay.
Billy Kay, yeah. They could be floating around. They always are. So there's a lot of good roster people that are not booked yet. But again, like we've said, they have that weird thing in their head about time and stuff. So, all right, guys. Great first segment. Why don't we take a break? When we come back, we'll go to Sunday night and go to Backlash. Speaking of Mr. Nakamura, his big match. Preview. We got some other interesting combinations. Kind of a fascinating pay-per-view Sunday night. I'm kind of looking forward to it, actually. You're listening to the main event. Scott Criscolo, Chris Jordan, Jason Greenhouse, the premiering Steve Ferrari. More after this.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey, pro wrestling announcer Kevin Kelly here. I want to make sure you are all subscribed to all the great feeds here at Place to Be Nation. It's really easy to do. Just head to iTunes or your preferred podcatcher app today and search and subscribe to the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, which, of course, includes the full archives of the Kevin Kelly Show, the Place to Be Nation pod feed, and the pro wrestling only feed. Subscribe, listen, and then rate us and leave feedback today. And be sure to give Justin your true thoughts. I mean, don't hold back. After all, he is kind of a jerk. Just listen to Scott.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rosero here, and I want to let you know that we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlayStation.com, and we now offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, you can check out Scott Criscolo and me on the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast with our famous Vintage Vault pay-per-view reviews. PTBN also covers current-day wrestling with Clotheslines and Headlines, Main Event, Lucha Afterground, and our monthly pay-per-view reaction shows. And we leave wrestling's past with our monthly pay-per-view rewind series led by Ben Morse, the Our Vantage Point podcast, which features a potpourri-style look at wrestling history, and Survey Says, a fun look back at the good, bad, and ugly of WCW. And on our very popular Place to Be Nation Pop podcast feed, we offer such great shows as the Glenn Butler podcast, Our Spectacular, Rank and File, PTBN Dadcast, NBA Team, and Lucha Undead, as well as a veritable podcast heaven for comics fans with hard-traveling fanboys, Sellers Points, Todd Weber's Conversations, Geek and Sassy, and the Imaginary Stories. You can find all these current shows plus archives of our past podcasts, including The Kevin Kelly Show, as well by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All these shows, plus others, available at PlayStation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus tournaments and more. Be sure to support our site by using PlayStation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping, and download our free PTB Vintage Vault Refresh ebooks via the links on our site. We also want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, and Fall River, Massachusetts, TheHistoryOfWrestling.com, and Scott Keith's Blog of Doom. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlayStation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Pro Wrestling Only Podcast Network. Subscribe on iTunes or on Android with your favorite podcast app. Established in 2013, the Pro Wrestling Only Podcast Network is committed to providing unique takes on the rich and diverse medium of professional wrestling, focusing on its history and global impact, but also exploring the vibrant contemporary scene. The roll call includes Space City, an NWA On Demand podcast, This Week in Wrestling, Stacey Elliott's Bogus Journey, the Super Apoitas podcast, the Military Industrial Suplex, Strong Style History, Puro Puri, and Psychology is Dead. Also, from the archives, the full catalog of great shows that provided a fresh look at classic wrestling, including Where the Big Boys Play, Titans of Wrestling, Tag Teams Back Again, Letters from Kayfabe, Wrestling Culture, Pro Wrestling Super Show, Goodwill Wrestling, and many, many others. Pro Wrestling Only Podcast Network. Only the best.
I hear voices in my head. They count to me. They understand. They talk to me. You got tools in your religion, all designed to keep you safe. But when rules start getting broken, you start questioning your.
Hey, welcome back, Place to Nation, to the main event. Great first segment. Scott Criscolo, Chris Jordan, Jason Greenhouse, and the debuting Stephen Ferrari. Great job so far, guys. We'll go to the Sunday night show in a moment. But first, PlaceToBeNation.com, your home for everything pop friggin' culture. And that includes Mr. Glenn Butler and his Wednesday walk around the web. Brian Bayless with your 205 Live recap. Dan McGinn with your SmackDown Live recap. Mr. Jordan, tell us a little bit about this piece that's up here called Go Home in a Box, The Rise and Fall of Canon Films. Is Canon Films what I think it is? Explain to me, please, and let me know, because I think I know what you're talking about.
Well, you see, Scott, you and I are from the same era, you know, so I'm sure you enjoyed going to the video store on a Friday or Saturday night looking for something to watch, right?
Absolutely.
And so that's basically the idea here. Go Home in a Box is basically discussion of movies from that era, you know, the 70s, 80s, early 90s. And the rise and fall of Canon Films is basically going to be a two-part theme. And part one, of course, is the rise of Canon Films. You know, you got your Delta Force, Cobra, Breakin' 2,
Electric Boogaloo.
Correct.
Tremendous sequel.
My my co-host, Joel LaPuma, and myself, we really get, you know, deep into discussions, and we have a little fun with it from time to time. And basically, that's the concept, you know, just, you know, discussions of movies from, you know, the VHS era. Stuff you may have rented over and over, stuff you may have missed. You know, we'll talk about cool box art from time to time. And so, I mean, this was our debut on Place to Be Nation. We've been doing it, you know, independently, but I want to give a shout out to the Rhode Island Ice JT, Mr. Rosero, and Brad Warren for bringing us into the fold. And we owe a debt of gratitude to those guys.
Brad who? Never heard of him. I pay his bills. No. You know, there's a documentary. Where was it? It's either on Crackle or one of those streaming channels.
It's on Netflix. It's the Electric Boogaloo documentary.
Yeah, about
the,
about Canon Films. It was fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. Aren't they like, are they, Israeli? Or, no.
Yeah, they were they were Israeli filmmakers. They were cousins, Menachem Golan and Yoram Globus. And basically, the company was sold to them in the late 70s, and then they just went wild with it. I mean, 1986 alone, that company produced something like 45 films
in
1 year. They went wire to wire from they put a movie out January 1st, 1986, and they put one out December 31st of 86. And so their whole concept was buying these bottom barrel scripts and just turning them into movies for, low budget and trying to turn a profit.
Now I'm trying to think. What was the... there was a movie that they put like a shitload of money into. It was supposed to be like their, holy grail, and they got the rights to it. Oh God, it's killing me. I'm gonna think about it. But they, of course, I can't fucking type. They put money into. I gotta look at the list. I'm trying to stall here so I can look at the list. Here it is, the Canon Group Films. If I look at the title, I'll know. Came out in the, I think it was the early 80s or late 70s. Not the Godsend.
Are you talking about the Apple?
The Apple, yes, the Apple.
Yeah, that was supposed to be their Tommy.
Yeah,
it was just this whole wall rock and roll opera science fiction type thing, and you've got some guy showing up, like some version of God pulling up in the sky in a Rolls Royce, and the whole rapture takes place, and it was just it was just nuts, and they were banking on that making a shit ton of money, and of course it didn't, but that would be the Apple, and that's probably considered one of the worst films of all time. In relation to how much money was put into it,
And, they probably made a little bit back on Death Wish 2, and they did Lady Chatterley's Lover, which there's some people on Twitter we know that probably likes that. And The Happy Hooker Goes Hollywood. Wow, there's a guy on Twitter that'd be all over these movies. So anyway, check out the podcast because it's one of those fascinating looks back. And Chris, great job. Looking forward to listening to it.
I appreciate the plug, man.
No problem. The PTBN series rewatch continues. We always plug The Butter Shave. I actually saw you taking your notes. The Butter Shave. Season nine. You're down to the last fucking season.
Yep, we are in the home stretch of our Seinfeld series rewatch. So there's some gems in season nine. The next episode coming up is The Voice, the episode with Chimerica Industries and
Hello.
Yes, and we have the Merv Griffin Show episode coming up, and of course the strike Festivus, which I think we're about 10 weeks out on that. So yeah, home stretch season nine. So it's been a hell of a run for us.
And I don't think you guys have missed any weeks, huh? A little bit here and there. It's Jordan Duncan's fault. Anyway, it's let me see if I can get everybody in. It's you, of course, JR, Aaron George, JD,
and Andy
Flanagan. So, of course, and they've done a great job through the first eight seasons, and now they're in the home stretch. JR and I released our most recent Vintage Vault refresh, the December 5th, 1994 episode of Monday Night Raw. Speaking of Monday Night Raw, Mr. Bayless has your Raw rundown. Psychology is Dead, Art of Style. I'll leave that there and click on it. It's a pretty interesting piece. And, of course, the most recent Place to Be podcast, episode 449, JR and I did the March 1st, 1986 Saturday Night's Main Event, one of the coolest and greatest science main events of all time. Speaking of Bartolo Colon in the singlet, a tremendous episode there. Now, I want to talk about this because, as you know, on PlacementNation.com and on the Facebook page, we do the – I'm going to think that's Stephen Ferrari. That sounds like he's cutting some logs, but it sounds like he's cutting some rails. But We, of course, do the Place to Be Nation question of the day. And every Wednesday evening that we record Place the main event, I'm going to actually throw it at you guys and chew on it for a minute or so. Today's question of the day was, if WCW continued and did not go under in March, who would have been the WCW champion at the end of 2001? In other words, after Starrcade, if there was Starrcade 01, who would the champion have been? Now, obviously, not counting the Nitro, the final Nitro, when the pay-per-views ended, Scott Steiner was your WCW champion. Stephen Ferrari, would Steiner have survived the end of the year had the company continued through the end of 2001?
He would have won and lost it four or five times, but I think he would have ended 2001 with the title. It would have been him or Booker T, I think. But my money's on Steiner. They really liked him down there, and I still don't know why.
What do you think, Chris?
I think they would have put the title on someone like Sean O'Hare. Because I think he was his stock was pretty much on the rise when they folded there, and I think he probably would have broken away from, I guess it was Chuck Palumbo was his tag team partner, and yeah, I think Sean O'Hare would have been a good choice.
Yeah, O'Hare is one of the guys that I thought about too. Now another thing to think about is if ECW hadn't folded, or if they did fold at this time too. Thinking about if they did fold like they did. I mean, there's guys that could have came in there like RVD and Rhino, who were like the two biggest ECW stars at the time. But just thinking about the guys who WCW had then, yeah, O'Hare's definitely up there. But then again, also WCW, so I wouldn't be surprised if like Starrcade 01 ended with like Buff Bagwell as the champion.
Yeah, then they would have just gone under in March of 02 instead. So it's questions like that that we love throwing out there on our question of the day on the Facebook page. We don't have rules, but just a couple of guidelines. You know, give us your background reasoning of your answer. Don't give a one word answer. Enjoy, you know, because the more people give their reasoning, it stirs some nice debate and discussion, and that's what we're looking for. We're looking to have some fun with these. Please check your spelling. Please capitalize what needs to be capitalized, and you know, have some fun with it. So that was today's question of the day, and of course we'll have one tomorrow. We always have it Tuesday through Friday, so check it out. It's always good.
Are people getting graded on their grammar on the Facebook
post? No, we just want to make sure there's intelligent life out there, and 80% of our 80% of our readers are and listeners are, but then there's that small sect that we'll just leave it at that, and that's without the brown liquid. If the brown liquid was there, that's different. But anyway, placemenation.com, your home for everything pop culture. Check out the ebook that JR and I have made and written with all of our great reviews. Amazon.com. By the way, also you'll see the post for the one charity event that I kind of promote, we here at PlaceMeNation promote, the second annual Sword and Shield Golf Classic. All the money we raise through golfers and sponsors and you, the PlaceMeNation listener, anything helps. $5, $10, doesn't matter to me. Anything you want to give is great, and it all goes to great causes. We spread the wealth to Homes for the Brave, which is a veterans organization, St. Jude's Children's Hospital, a local charity here in the tri-state area called Al's Angels, for kids with cancer and kids with illnesses. So please, the post is on placemenation.com. The link is there. It's a one time of the year that we ask for a little bit back, and it goes to a great cause. So thank you in advance for your generosity. Placemenation.com, your home for everything pop culture. All right, guys, let's go to Sunday night in Chicago. It is Backlash. After having it the first Backlash in 7 years, back in September, they've put Backlash back in the fall. It is still a SmackDown show. We've got 8 matches, including the pre-show. And we've got 1, 2, 3 title matches, including a very interesting WWE Championship match. So why don't we dive in? On the pre-show, Ty Dillinger will take on Aiden English. This obviously sets up a Ty Dillinger win because there's a guy I think that can move up the ladder, maybe be a U.S. title contender. Anything, guys? Any chance for Aiden English here, Steve, Chris?
Not at all.
No,
no sir.
Not even a little bit.
Not even a little bit. Greeny, no.
No,
he doesn't even want me. He doesn't want to talk on the mic. Ty Dillinger wins. All right. Let's go to the show proper. The last match that was booked was last night or Tuesday night on Talkin' Smack, and one of the greatest Talkin' Smack moments ever. Eric Rowan walks in with a bag of masks, which was pretty hilarious, and he wants his former Wyatt family crony, Mr. Luke Harper. So the Wyatt family backup head to head in on Sunday. Eric Rowan and Luke Harper. Steve, what do you think?
Why do we have to see yet another match between Luke Harper and Eric Rowan? Can't they move on? Can't they do anything else? It's too much for me. I can't do it.
What if they were British? Oh, wait. Then they really wouldn't be on the show at all.
Then they shouldn't be. They definitely shouldn't be on the show. But as it is right now, it's just, you could do so much more with Luke Harper, I think, than, you know, just have him in there with Eric Rowan again, because they can't imagine having the Wyatt family do anything other than team or feud with each other.
You didn't think Eric Rowan was funny on Talkin' Smack?
It was funny. It was good, but it led to something that I don't care about. So.
Oh, okay. Do you care who wins? Who do you think wins?
If Harper doesn't win, it's just a ridiculous match. So I'm guessing Rowan will, in fact.
What do you think, Chris?
Yeah, Luke Harper's really stagnated since breaking away from Bray Wyatt and becoming a face. We thought he was going to be elevated to somewhere near the main event, but that hasn't happened. I'm not sure if his stock has fallen behind the scenes or whatever the case is there. I think based on what we saw on Talking Smack, I guess I got to go with Eric Rowan here because, you know, one of them's got to have momentum, so why not give it to the guy who was funny on Talking Smack?
Yeah, if you haven't watched Talking Smack with Eric Rowan yet, do yourself a favor and check it out. He did some amazing prop comic stuff that was just so bizarre, but it's what his character needs. And Harper is probably the most underutilized guy on the roster, both character-wise and in the ring. He's so underrated in the ring. But I do want to see, just because of what happened last night, I want to see Rowan win. I want to see where this character goes from here. What other mask he can pull out of this bag.
And Eric Rowan's become, I guess, the carrot top of the WWE with the prop comic.
Yeah, that was like...
No, he's Carrot Beard.
Carrot Beard, yeah, yeah.
Skull's upside down.
But, like, that scary mask that he's been wearing to the ring, like, I guess that's, like, his calming mask. That's what Shane said. Like, Shane had him put that mask on, and all of a sudden he was okay. And both Shane and Renee were really good in the segment too. But anyway, yeah, I want to see Rowan win here. I just want to see what's next for this character. That was very intriguing last night.
It was incredibly bizarre. I do agree with you, Steve. The Wyatts are no longer, all right? The family is done. You know, Bray is pretty entrenched on Raw right now. Enough's enough. We don't need any more. I agree with you on that. It's time to break these guys up and have these guys do other things. By the way, I think Rowan wins as well, unfortunately. David versus Goliath, which seems to be the only thing for Sami Zayn right now. He's taking on Baron Corbin. I have not been a big Sami Zayn fan over the last couple months. He definitely needed a change off of Raw, and he's getting quite forgotten, in my opinion, on SmackDown. Through no fault of his own, I just think the roster's so loaded that there's nothing for him to do. Chris, what do you think? First off, your thoughts on Sami Zayn at this moment in the roster, and who do you like in this match with him and Corbin?
Yeah, Sami Zayn, you can tell where they're going with this guy when he's backstage, you know, getting hyped for a six-man tag with his partners, and they completely brush him off like he's some, you know, jabroni. And I guess basically that's what he is at this point. You know, he's just enhancement talent. He's out there. He's going to make Baron Corbin look good. I think Corbin's going to win the match. And Sami Zayn is going to go back to driving the cash cab.
Oh, God. What do you think, Steve?
Yeah, I don't see any upside to Sami Zayn winning. I'm not sure I see an upside to Sami Zayn being on my television anymore.
What happened?
I don't know. I mean, they just decided that that Kevin Owens was their guy there, and it was like they could only have one, and they just decided to discard Sami. Like, and I don't understand it, really. Like, he has charisma. He can be really good. And maybe they're just leading to him going away and introducing a certain masked individual because he doesn't feel like he's being respected anymore, because he's certainly not being respected on television. And they treat him worse in every segment than anybody I've ever seen. Zack Ryder's like, damn, dude.
Yeah, I mean, I'm totally perplexed by it. He's being treated like the new, like this, you know, the dorky freshman who's getting shoved around by the seniors. And I don't know how far this is going to go with him. Or where it goes from here. Obviously, the great feud between him and Kevin Owens over the last couple of years. Obviously, they think more of Kevin Owens than they do him. And I don't know how much further they're going to go with him. I mean, Baron Corbin's going to win this match. I mean, they love Baron Corbin. But is that really all that Sami Zayn is good for, Greeny? Has he become like a modern, like, has he become a Lanny Poffo?
He's reminded me a lot of, like, this era's Tito Santana, where, like, he had that great feud with Owens, like Tito had with Valentine, and then he went on like a little bit of a singles push, you know, like Tito did with the IC belt, and you know, just this charismatic baby face, and then he just kind of fell off the face of the earth a little bit. He's still going to give you a good match, but it's like he's at that point in his career where he needs to find his Rick Martel. He needs to find like his tag team partner. Maybe that'll help him out a little bit, or possibly bringing in an alter ego mask gimmick from the past of his. I don't know. But, yeah, I mean, he's still fine in the ring, but there's so much more that character could give right now. And everybody thought, okay, he's going to SmackDown. Okay, finally, he's going to be in the net picture. And he's still, I mean, not that putting over Corbin is a bad thing right now, because Corbin has improved drastically over the past 9 months, but I just don't think that Sami should be the guy to do it. But something has to give with him over the next month or two. Hopefully, SmackDown being the land of opportunity that it is, anybody can get a push at any time, and hopefully Sami's downward spiral doesn't, you know, this is it, and you know he starts going upward from here. But yeah, Corbin ends up victorious on Sunday.
I think what might is eventually happen with Sami is that he just keeps getting bullied by everybody, and eventually Kevin Owens comes in and says, "Hey, knock it off! I'm the only one who's allowed to do that," and you just kind of reform that tag team for the two of them.
Well, that's not a bad idea. That's not a bad idea. I don't know if that turns Owens babyface or turns.
Oh, I think it would have to turn Owens babyface.
Yeah.
Just from, or you know, the wacky tag team partners who respect but hate each other.
What if they?
Deal.
What if they turn into like this era's Ruggiero brothers, where they're like the faces of America and they have like the little American flags?
I don't know that Sami Zayn could pull that off.
He definitely is not a Jacques Rougeau.
No, Kevin Owens definitely could pull
Owens
that off.
Owens could definitely
but
pull
I,
off the little American flags, yeah.
Yeah. Sami Zayn would just look ridiculous.
I mean, could you just imagine, like, you know, somebody's in the ring and he comes out and you hear, "Oh my God, I hate YouTube. Go fuck yourself. I don't want to hear about your stupid YouTube Red either. All I want is to play a goddamn song. No one gives a shit." Yes, Alien Covenant's coming out. Whatever, I don't give a fuck. Oh my God, now I gotta deal with a fucking disclaimer. Fuck you! Asshole. Anyway. Steve Ferrari's like, "What the fuck? This guy's out of his mind." I know, that's what makes me, I think the event's so great.
I knew what I was getting into. I listen to the show every week.
I know you do. I know you do. Well, I'm going to play this anyway, then. In sports entertainment.
I'm Sami Zayn. Will Butch play with my twig and berries?
Imagine Kevin Owens wearing a fleur-de-lis cape. Come on. That could be very interesting. All right. Barry Manilow. All right. So Sami Zayn's going to eat the pin on Sunday. We're trying to bump him up, but right now he's pretty much he's Lanny Poffo without the frisbees. A guy who is not in Sami Zayn's position is in a much better position, and that is Mr. Shinsuke Nakamura. He takes on Dolph Ziggler. We know he's going to win. There's really nothing to say about this match, per se. It could be match of the night. I'll start with you, Steve. Could this be match of the night?
No.
No.
No, I think there's another match that's definitely going to take that over. I think they're both going to try. I think Nakamura is going to try harder than he did for the last 6 months of his NXT run on the show. And I think Ziggler is going to be motivated as well. I think it's going to be fun, but it's just going to fall short of that match of the night.
Okay. What do you think, Chris?
Spot.
Yeah, I've been reading some things online here where some people think Nakamura should just squash Ziggler. Should just be, Kinshasa match over. But, Ziggler can go. Despite what, you might think about his motivation and his staleness and whatnot, Nakamura versus Ziggler is actually a very good match. And I'd like to see them go, 10, 15 minutes and... hopefully they will. And yeah, I think it'll be pretty close to match of the night myself. Nakamura, of course, with the win.
Yeah, this is going to be really good. I did a column a few months ago on for Place to Be Nation about it was the week right before the roster shakeup and what possible moves could happen to help guys' careers out. And the last one I had on there was sending Dolph Ziggler down to NXT. And having him put over some new talent in NXT, it kind of happened. I mean, they brought NXT to him. They brought Nakamura up to the main roster, and Ziggler's going to help put him over on the main roster. Not that he needs it, but that's just the way the WWE works. Ziggler is still awesome in the ring. The character itself is really stale, but he still goes in there and he'll bump like Kurt Hennig and like Billy Gunn for Nakamura for 10 or 12 minutes. I don't see this closing the show, but this is Nakamura's big. He's going to have the huge entrance. The crowd's going to be absolutely apeshit for him in Chicago. I think about 10 or 12 minutes. And Nakamura, gets the easy win here.
I think it could definitely be the second best match of the night because Dolph's just a good worker, whether he wins or loses. I definitely think that obviously Nak wins, and a lot of people think apparently his next feud is with Kevin Owens, which could be pretty damn awesome. Somebody doesn't like the Rougeau's theme. Damn. Little six-woman tag action going on here. We have Naomi, babyface Charlotte, although she's more like a tweener, I guess. And, of course, Becky Lynch taking on the Welcoming Committee, which is an atrocious name for a faction. Then again, look at the faction itself. Natalya, Carmella, and Tamina. I don't know, guys. I was saying today that I think the babyfaces should win pretty comfortably, but... the baby faces should win pretty comfortably, but maybe not. What do you think, Chris?
Yeah, I think probably if I was booking this, Scotty, I'd probably have some issues. I'll go with whatever that guy's saying.
He doesn't want Sami Zayn to lose either. What do you think, Steve?
This is just a ridiculous combination of women. And I'm only watching to see if Charlotte just randomly turns on Peaches for fun.
That's entirely possible. I don't think it happens because obviously, as we saw in Talking Smack, Charlotte wants what's around Naomi's waist. So I think that's what it's all about here. But the welcoming committee is a bunch of fucking jobbers. So
Exactly.
It doesn't
actually matter. I think the more likely option is Becky turning on Charlotte, because I think she's due for a heel turn to freshen her character up.
Yeah, entirely possible. I agree. I can't see her joining Tamina. I mean, God, that group is just so fucking bad.
No.
It's so bad. Does anybody like Natalia? Does anybody like Natalia? I think more people like her fucking cats. But anyway, I think a Becky Lynch heel turn could be in the works. She's kind of been acting a little kooky on Talking Smack. There's times I've seen her come on Talking Smack, and I think she was on something. But a change of pace might be good for her. We'll see. All right, our first of three title matches on the evening, the United States Championship. We've been talking a lot about this guy, Kevin Owens, taking on AJ Styles. This probably will be the match of the night. I don't think there's any question about that. I think Owens keeps it, though. I think Owens keeps it. But I think this is going to be a ridiculously good match. Chris, I'll start with you. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I think Owens is going to retain the title. Now, I'd hate to say that a great match between these two guys is going to end in a DQ, but I kind of see that unfolding. I think they're going to just have these two keep going at it for another show afterward. It's also, playing hot potato with the U.S. title there if Owens does lose. So I actually see him retaining because of that.
Yeah, I see Owens retaining. AJ right now, and probably for the remainder of his WWE career, he's going to be bulletproof. He's like this era's Randy Savage. As far as he can work heel, he can work babyface, he can lose any match, and he's still going to be the most over guy, or one of the most over guys in the company. He doesn't need the U.S. title right now, even though the U.S. title means more than the world title in some ways. We also have the next pay-per-view for SmackDown is Money in the Bank. So, as much as a guy like Corbin or somebody like that could use the briefcase, I mean, why not give it to AJ too? But yeah, Owens retains here. The face of America gimmick that he has right now, I love it. And and then an Owens and Nakamura feud down the road, sure. That's got money written all over it, and hopefully that's the one of the big feuds of the summer coming up.
What do you think, Steve?
I think AJ wins, but he doesn't win the title. I think that's the most logical booking for this match, and yeah, it's going to be the match of the night easily.
Okay, I think Owens. I think actually Owens retains. I think he cheats, but I think he retained clean. But again, it's going to be ridiculous, and I think it's good. Owens will be challenged in the ring by a guy of AJ's caliber that he hasn't really had. I mean, other than Jericho, but I think AJ's a better wrestler than Jericho. So I think this is good for him, and I think the change of scenery is good for him too. But somebody's got to start getting like Shane. I think has been too easy on Owens, like in these Talking Smacks. Like, he needs to talk back to him. Like, Owens walks in and they let him like step all over them. Like, if he gets he's like, I'm getting disrespected here, and Shane should be like, why? You have a belt. Shut up. Like, somebody should just tell him to shut up on these Talking Smacks. I think it would be pretty cool. And I have a feeling you'll see an Owen-Shane match in about 6 months. I think that's pretty clear, too. All right, next, the blue nickel belts are on the line, the SmackDown Tag Team titles. Your champions, the Usos, taking on another two guys who you thought were pretty much forgotten. But in the end, they're actually, again, one of the more entertaining aspects of SmackDown. That is Breezango, complete with their Law & Order mock-ups, when he couldn't say what was the other night we was watching. What could Fandango not say? Reconnaissance. You're undercover work. What in Pierre Cardin am I wearing? Oh my God, they're so fantastic. I really want them to win this match. They're probably not going to, but it'll make for good wrestling, though. I think. What do you think, Chris?
Yeah, I think Breezango could actually take the titles here. I mean, they've really their stock has really climbed over the last few weeks with these Fashion Police segments. I love them, and aside of this, I love the posters. I think I saw Tony Chimmel. I think I saw Tony Chimmel as absolute worst, right?
Yeah,
yeah, it was Chimmel. And the framed photo of the big boss man up in the corner. I mean, it's just, you know, little touches like that have actually, you know, made me like these guys like 100% more than what I liked them previously. And I think they've got all the momentum because of that. And I can see them going over the Usos. And the Usos haven't really done much since winning the titles. And so why not Breezango?
What do you think, Steve? Breezango? Come on.
Breezango absolutely does not need the titles. They can be over without it, and it's just such a ridiculous gimmick that works so well that I just didn't expect to enjoy it as much as I do. But I don't think that they I don't see them winning the tag team titles. I don't think they need it.
Yeah, I agree with Steve. They don't need the belts, but I think they're going to win them and then lose them again on SmackDown, possibly on Tuesday. I can see this being the opening match and just like a feel good moment to open the show with. The Fashion Files things have been lights out, awesome, and they've got Fandango's fingerprints all over them. The guy, if you've seen him on stuff like Swerved and Southpaw Championship Wrestling, he's a funny and creative guy, and this has his fingerprints all over it. You know, probably with the blessing of some of the writers and producers and stuff. But yeah, really creative stuff. They make fools out of themselves, which is what wrestling is all about. You know, make fun of yourself. Don't be afraid to turn it up to 11, you know. It's basically like what Kurt was talking about at the Hall of Fame, you know. Don't be afraid to put on a little baby cowboy hat. You know, these guys are walking around in, you know, these ridiculous, you know, sailor and policeman outfits. So, yeah, I can see this being in the opening match and just a feel-good moment with them getting the belts and then losing them either Tuesday or the week after when the Usos want to have their rematch.
Yeah, I'd like to see that, too. I have a feeling, sadly, the Usos are going to win, but I also agree with Steve that they're just so damn funny. Maybe it's just a personal reward for them, and then they lose them in a couple weeks, too. But, I mean, those segments are just so hilarious, and I think the Boss Man picture actually makes those segments, in my opinion. All right, our main event, and whether or not this match is last depends, but obviously, the head-scratcher of the night, Randy Orton, defends the WWE Championship against Jinder Mahal. I have no problem with this, and I think people are kind of shitting on Jinder unfairly. I think he's worked as hard as he can in this spot. He's got his little minions there, the Singh brothers, the old Bollywoods. I like his finisher. I like his look. He looks mean. He looks like a heel. I think he's fine. Does he win Sunday? No. No, absolutely not. Orton will retain the title. But I think it's made for decent television. And I think he'll put on a good match. And I think he's been fine. I think he's been a perfectly fine number one contender. But he will not win on Sunday. What do you think, Greeny?
Yeah, he's not winning the belt on Sunday. This is a prime example of SmackDown being the land of opportunity. Jinder obviously couldn't do it on his own. Bringing in the Sin Brothers was a good idea too. Having a little stable with him is really smart. That way, if he does win matches, he's going to get help. But It's going to be a match. Jinder is really, really good in the ring. He always has been. He just, you know, hasn't found his glitch with, you know, getting that big push. But, Randy's not losing the belt.
Yeah. No, and I think it's going to be, but I do think it's going to be a pretty good match, though. What do you think, Chris?
You know, I, for one, I mean, I can understand people, you know, deriding the choice of Jinder Mahal suddenly becoming number one contender. I get where that's from. I'm not one of those people who partook in such derision because, to be quite frank, I thought it was fresh. It was different. I mean, look what they did with JBL back in 2004. You know, the APA broke up. Bradshaw goes to SmackDown, and like weeks later, he's JBL and he's getting title shots. We didn't buy it back then, but he won the title and hung on to it. He became, you know, a memorable character, and I think they're probably trying to duplicate the same thing with Jinder Mahal. And like Queenie said, he's not all that bad in the ring. Randy Orton, he hasn't looked so great, but you know, he had this whole stupid Bray Wyatt feud going on, and I think that made everybody look bad. And but you know, we know Orton's decent in the ring; he can bring it. I think we're going to get a decent match between the two, regardless of what the Chicago crowd is going to do during the match. But I think Orton's going to retain. I think it's really going to be there's going to be an Orton Styles feud down the road, and Jinder Mahal, there'll be bigger things down the road for him. And I think this is going to go on last, and I think it'll actually be a surprisingly decent match.
Mm. What do you think, Steve?
I think this match is going to be the bell ringing, Orton hitting an RKO, and then the 1-2-3. I can't imagine that the funny one from 3MB in a WWE title match. It boggles my mind.
It's entirely possible. I could also if that doesn't happen, Steve, I could also see this match curtain jerking the show. And if it ends up being a halfway decent, you know, 8 to 13 minute match, I could see this opening the show, kind of like
If they had anybody else to put in against Orton for the title, it should open the show with that 3-second knockout for Randy. And then he's like, all right, I need another match. And he gets another main event against somebody else on last.
That's not bad.
But who else is there? Who's there to take on Orton now? Who's not already in a match?
Rusev.
No. See, there's an idea.
Complete with stripper manager. Or are they not going to have them together?
I don't think they're going to have them together.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to have them together either.
Yeah, I think they're split.
I think she's going to be her own. I think she's going to be her own stripper. Imagine Emelina, and if it stayed Emelina and Lana as a. Oh wow. Woo. I'll pass on. Oh boy. Anyway, I would laugh, Steve. If that was the case, if he just walks up, drops the RKO, moves on, starts jaw-jacking with Orton just looks at him like, dope, and then just drops it and moves on. That's entirely possible, too.
And it's one of those situations where it completely makes sense within within Randy Orton's character. Just be like, you know what, fuck it. Bam, you're done.
Yeah, it is true. All right, guys, there is your Backlash preview, and that is our episode. It has been a pleasure. Thank you very much. And we've had, of course, we had some technical snafus tonight, and I appreciate everyone's patience. But in the end, it was an awesome show as always. Mr. Ferrari, great debut, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
It'll be good to have you back on very, very soon. Keep things up out in the borough. I'll probably have to come out and meet you one night. I'll have to find a nice fine watering hole in the fine neighborhood of Astoria. I'm sure there's
plenty. I've got several of them. You need a recommendation? I can give you 6.
All with brown liquid. That's all I ask. Whether it comes from a tap or a bottle, I don't care so long as
it's
dark.
At least one of them, that's all they serve.
Well, well, there we go. Main event on the road. I think my Chromebook Skype works. Steve, pleasure. Thank you, man. Chris Jordan.
Thank you.
You're awesome. Great job, as always. Pimp the podcast one more time, sir.
Check out Go Home in a Box. Do it now.
Go Home in the Box. Is that what was the Andy Samberg? My Dick in a Box?
Dick
is that
box.
What? Dick in a Box. That's what it was. No. This is better than that. Chris, pleasure as always. Greeny, always a pleasure, sir. Thank you for your help, as always. We'll be back in 2 weeks. 2 weeks will be the day before my birthday, I think. And I believe that it will be, I think, another preview, right? Is June 4th? June 4th, I think, is Extreme Rules. So in 2 weeks, we'll have another preview special. And we will preview Extreme Rules from Baltimore, I think it is.
Yeah,
Baltimore. And that is Raw's next pay-per-view. The Fatal 5-Way to decide who will play, who will wrestle Brock Lesnar at their July show. I can't even say it with a straight face. I think the pay-per-view is called Baba O'Reilly. Anyway, so in 2 weeks we'll talk a little Raw action, yeah, and get you ready for Extreme Rules. So, for Chris Jordan, for Steve Ferrari, for Jason Greenhouse, I am Scott Criscoli. You've been in the main event. Plenty of wrestling this weekend. Enjoy it, and we'll talk to you.